Hi, this is Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, a live radio show all about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the dog super nanny.
And I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer.
Rini and I are professional dog trainers. I work in central New Jersey, and Rini works in southern New Jersey. We come to you live each week in the hopes of providing valuable information and advice about your dog's health, training techniques, and certain behavioral issues. We frequently interview other experts in the field like authors, veterinarians, nutritionists, and even other trainers throughout the United States and abroad. If you're a new listener, you can go to our websites to hear our podcasts of all our past shows at www.thedogsupernanny.com and www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Today we'd like to invite you to call into the show. If you have any questions about your own dog, feel free to give us a call. Our phone number here is 856-227-1360. Again, that's 856-227-1360. Our lines are open now, and we're looking to hear from you. In a minute, we're just going to take a short break before we return, and Rini and I are going to chat about a bunch of subjects. But I want to take a break right now so that Rini could tell you about the services that she offers in the southern New Jersey area as a dog trainer and certified behavior consultant.
Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey dog trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.
We have a new line for you guys to call in. If you'd like to call into the show, that way you could get into the studio as quick as you can. The phone number is 856-232-7077. Again, that number is 856-232-7077. Hey, Rini, I have a question for you.
All right.
How many spoiled dogs do you meet in your business?
Well, I don't know. I think there are too many to count, but I think we should talk about this, Karen, because I don't think people realize what they do that does spoil the dog. I talk to clients all the time, and I start out asking them, have you ever met a spoiled child? Because spoiled dogs are very similar in the behaviors that they wind up choosing when they get everything that they want. So spoiled children become obnoxious, very demanding, rude, and really sometimes they can become aggressive in their behaviors toward their parents, you know, where they become verbally abusive. And I've seen that even in my own family, unfortunately. And I see that when I go to train a dog who is barking in everybody's face, If you give the dog attention and you stop and the dog figures, I didn't get enough attention or affection from you, I want more, and they start barking at you, you know, so that tells me right away that this dog is very successfully getting people to buy into the fact that the dog is wanting what it wants, and it wants it now. And so we have to be very careful about that.
The dog owners do, if they have to have a dog that's doing these behaviors. Like, say you have a dog that, you know, comes over to you to solicit attention, and you know, you give it a few pets, and then you want to watch, you know, your TV show, and it constantly paws you and barks in your face. What would your recommendations be?
Well, unfortunately, you have to do some work. You know, you can't just not
work.
Do anything. Work. Yeah. My advice to somebody who was doing that and who has created a habit in their dog is to first to start out ignoring the dog. If you can sit there and pretend the dog isn't even there, that would be the first step. And you have to be consistent. You can't look at the dog, talk to the dog, or touch the dog. You continue watching TV, or you turn your body away, turn your face, turn your back. If that doesn't work, then get up, take a few steps away from the dog, and just stand there, do nothing. And then, as a last resort, you walk out of the room, close yourself in the bathroom, and don't come out until the dog is quiet. But the dog has to be quiet, and I kind of stretch it a little bit, to at least a count of 10. And I'm not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm talking about 1-1,000, 2-1,000. Because if you come out too quickly, what is the dog gonna think about that? Finally, my barking worked, and you came out, and now you're giving me attention again.
Now, would that work if the dog decides that he's going to go into the refrigerator and get a beer and watch TV?
If my dog got into the refrigerator and started and took a beer out of there, I would call somebody to help me put him on TV. And so I would definitely encourage that behavior. but really, seriously, I mean, some dogs that I have met, and unfortunately I met one this week, just a puppy. She's a 5-month-old puppy, and the owners are treating her as their own child, which we often do, but they're making this puppy feel as though she's queen of the Nile. They carry her around almost 24/7. She's in their laps all the time, very seldom on the floor. They hand feed her, you know, they'll give her a treat when she's in their lap, and they hold on to the bone, to a point where she won't chew on the bone unless she's sitting in the in their lap and they're holding it.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay is right. So we have to be very careful. Now, with this little puppy, and I want to tell you, the owners are lovely people, absolutely lovely people, but they called me for help, and there's a reason that they called me for help is because the situation is becoming unbearable. They're not now enjoying the puppy like they did when she was 8 or 9 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
She's 5 months old now, and so she's learned this habit to bark in their face constantly, and when she barks, she has this shrill, unpleasant sounding bark. It's very hard to listen to. And so what they've been doing is, if the dog is on the floor barking at them, they immediately pick her up, and that stops the barking.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of, you know, I think that, you know, people who have babies, I think one of the first pieces of advice that the doctor or would give the new parents is, if your baby is crying, let the baby cry for a few minutes. Go in and check to make sure that it's safe and it's okay and that it's not needing a diaper change. And if it doesn't need anything, walk back out, because the baby will very, and you know, it's amazing how quickly even a baby would learn.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I cry, and people come in and give me attention,
right.
And so if you do that, and now you don't want to do that, the baby figures, okay, now I'll cry even longer.
But you know what? I want to bring up an important point, and that's, you know, with dogs like this that have this particular issue, this testering thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're raising puppies, we have to also increase their tolerance to frustration. And generally, you know, puppies learn this, you know, in the litter when they're, you know, hungry and they're trying to get to mom because they want to eat. And then litter mates are pushing them out of the way and everything. And they don't always get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they learn how to be a little patient and wait their turn.
That's an excellent point, Karen.
Yeah, but you know what? Then humans get these dogs, and we, you know, toss the baby out with the bathwater, and we don't teach them how to be tolerant of frustrating experiences.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because, and we're going to talk about some things after our first break about frustration and puppies. But you do raise a very good point. So we also have to look at when the puppy was with the litter, how many other litter mates did they have? That can be a key as to why a puppy or a dog might be not able to deal with frustration. So let's say you have a singleton puppy, which is you should know that it's an important question to ask the breeder how many were in the litter. But if it's a small dog, and guess how many more small dogs are spoiled than big dogs, or who do this demand attention and who spoil up so much faster.
You know, I remember reading in Dr. Patricia McConnell's book, For the Love of a Dog, I think it was that.
Right.
That one of her dogs had a single puppy, and she just sat down and cried her eyes out. You know, and as a reader, you're thinking, why are you crying? And she explains that while she doesn't have scientific backing because she hasn't done studies on it, her personal experience is that, you know, singleton puppies are horrendous.
Yeah, they are.
Many of them are destroyed because whenever they want to drink, whenever they want to eat, they eat. Whenever they want mom, they get mom. And so they never learn how to be frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did was she put like this little furry puppet hand thing on her hand. And whenever the puppy went to go feed, she knocked it out of the way.
Oh.
So she kind of mimicked, kind of reenacted what a litter would do with the puppy. And thankfully, the puppy grew up to be a good dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she, in her experience, she's known that these dogs had to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Because they had so little tolerance to frustration, they actually were inherently dangerous.
Right. Well, the little dogs are smaller breeds. You know, most of those births have to be done by cesarean. And we also, from what I'm learning, is like with Chihuahuas and the other small breeds, maybe they'll have one or two litter mates. So maybe they have two or three in the litter and that's it.
Yeah.
So they don't have like six or seven brothers and sisters who can, you know, cause that type of frustration. So I think this is a lot of reasons why we get obnoxious behaviors a lot of times from the little dogs.
Yeah.
But we have to be very careful not to reinforce that.
Or create it.
And so with one of the puppies that I'm working with now, because this has gone on for so long, they're now beginning to see some actual aggressive behavior. She is so demanding that now when nobody pays attention to her, she's leaping up and going at their face.
Wow.
So that's really dangerous.
Right.
Yeah. So thankfully, they're very willing, the owners are very willing to learn, and they're very willing to do the things and take the advice that I'm giving them, because now they're getting very frustrated because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to handle this. So those of you who are listening, if you really feel that you are spoiling your dogs and that your dog's behavior is becoming a bit problematic for you now, the one thing you have to understand is if you now start going in the opposite direction, and you don't want to discipline, you know, you don't want to start hitting and smacking and screaming at your dog, because that's not the way this behavior is going to go away.
You know, I'll tell you, one day my sister gave me advice when I was young and I was started dating and everything. My sister said, you're going to fall in love with a man, you're going to love all these things about him.
Uh-huh.
And those are the very things that you're going to hate about him in like 5 years.
Well, see that?
Always so funny, always a neat freak, love it.
Right.
You know, and then you're married and it's like, oh, will you stop joking around?
Right, you get this on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's a valuable lesson.
And I mean, how many of your clients have complained to you about their dogs, and they actually say, when he was a puppy, we thought this was really cute, or when he barked at us, or when he guarded his food, we thought, oh, you little cute little thing, isn't that funny? And they laughed.
Yeah.
And so now look what we have when the dog is an adolescent or older. Now we have a dangerous situation on our hands.
It's very, very true. And I'd like to discuss this a little bit further, but we're going to do that after the break.
Okay.
I'd like to take a break so that I can share my services that I offer in the Central New Jersey area.
Very good.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Cremeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I'm here with my co-host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny. And we have been talking about spoiled, bratty dogs. And Karen, you had some other information you wanted to give to our listeners this morning about that.
I do. We have another subject that we'd like to get in before the for the rest of the half of the show. But what I'd like people to know, dog owners to know, is that just be careful what you're rewarding. I mean, anything could be a reward. I mean, looking at the dog's a reward, petting the dog is a reward, opening the door is a reward. All these things are rewards. It doesn't necessarily have to be food. You know, it could just be, you know, yelling at the dog and saying no, you know, or chasing it when it has something in its mouth.
Mm,
you know,
that's hugely rewarding. Hugely rewarding.
Hugely rewarding. So, you know, try to focus more on what the dog is doing right.
Mm-hmm.
And keep an open mind. If you're a young couple and you just got married and you got your first dog, think about the future. Think that you may have a family one day. So, you know, like this case that Reenie's working right now, it's all cute in the beginning that the dog was laying on their lap, but, you know, pretty soon, if they want to have kids,
right,
it's going to be a big problem.
Absolutely, a dangerous problem.
Or so you have a big house and a yard and you're doing really well in life and you don't think anything's going to happen, but then maybe you lose your job and now you got to live in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not be helpful to have a dog that's barking at everything and running the fence, and because now the dog has to live in a smaller space. So
mm-hmm.
just try to keep your dog trained so that, you know, it could cope with a lot of different situations. And look at your dog when it's being good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take that opportunity as a time to say, oh, now I could kick back on the couch and watch my program. Thank God the dog is laying there quiet.
Right.
That's the time for you to get up.
And reward the dog.
Stay on the with the dog. Kiss him, rub him, give him a bone, give him a treat, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the repay behavior you want to reward.
Absolutely.
But you have a really interesting topic right now.
Yeah.
And I want to get into that right now.
Okay.
And why don't you share that with
me? I will, Karen. I just want to remind our listeners that our lines are open today. We would love for you to interrupt us. We don't care if you interrupt us. We want to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about your own dog, please give us a call at 856-232-7077. That's 856-232-7077. Well, apparently there has been a study done, and it was done by the University of Pennsylvania's Center for the Interaction of Animals in Society. And so they did a study about which dog breeds were most dangerous than others. Now, this is a highly emotional topic, and I want to tell you, this is not coming from Karen or me. This is coming from information from 10. And according to the Centers for Disease Control, there were 279 deaths as a result of attacks by dogs between 1979 and 1994. Unfortunately, they don't have a more current report for this. The researchers conducted the study based on a series of criteria, which included owner aggression, stranger aggression, aggression towards other dogs, and rivalry with other dogs. According to the study's scoring, researchers concluded the following breeds were the 15 most dangerous. And before you get all upset, we're going to come back. After I give you this list, Karen and I are going to talk to you about our experiences with some of these breeds and whether or not we agree. So, here's what they're saying. Chow Chow, Akita, Giant Schnauzer, and Papillon. They're the first four.
Papillon, huh?
Papillon.
Wow.
Yeah. The Dachshund, Jack Russell Terrier, Lhasa Apso, Bull Mastiff. That's the next four. Miniature Pinscher, the Chihuahua, Old English Sheepdog,
wow,
the German Shepherd, Rottweiler, Dalmatian, and can you guess who the last one is?
A Golden Retriever.
Pitbull.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, despite what everybody says that pitbulls are so dangerous, you know, they have issues and they can be aggressive. They're certainly not at the top of the list by any means. They're the last one on the list.
Wow.
Okay. So, this does not include mixed breeds. So you have to understand that. And there are certain mixed breeds that I find a bit on the aggressive side too.
Mm-hmm.
Now they said as far as the study is concerned, some of the factors that can create these breeds can be determined whether or not the dog was abused, chained, neglected, abandoned, bored, we have a lot of bored dogs out there,
yeah,
angry, poorly bred, that's my number one,
mm-hmm,
threatened or afraid, untrained, shy, insecure, physically hurt, ill, poorly socialized, or new mothers with puppies.
Oh.
All right, now, Karen, let's go down this list. Now, I realize you don't have this in front of you, but let's take the first four. The first one is Chow.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is Akita. The third is a Giant Schnauzer. And the fourth is a Papillon.
Well, I have a couple of stories regarding those.
All right. So very briefly, which of the four that I just mentioned have you had experience with as far as aggression is concerned?
The Akita.
Yep, me too.
And the Giant Schnauzer.
Okay. And how bad?
And the Jack Russell.
Well, he's further down.
Yeah.
So the Akita and the Giant Schnauzer, how bad was the aggression? And were you able to determine what caused it?
Yes. I can't say for sure,
mm-hmm,
but I know that the Akita was trained very forcefully.
Okay.
And one of the techniques used to teach the dog how to lay down was an old technique back in the 60s and 70s, and that's to pull the leash tight,
mm-hmm,
and step on the leash and say down, 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 down as the dog's head goes closer to the floor. quite often these dogs will struggle, and then when they give up the struggle, they lay down, and then you make a whole big deal, and oh, you're so wonderful, and you give them a treat or whatever.
Is that after they cut their hair off?
No, because the collar puts pressure on the back of the neck.
Oh, they're going
right
down. Okay, I'm thinking you're,
yeah,
holding it. Okay, because I'm wondering how they're going to get the dog down if they're lifting up on the collar.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right, okay,
and
sorry.
And what happened is that I got a call from a police officer, a Newark police officer, who had this dog, and he attacked his girlfriend's feet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
I called you on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because the dog is a Japanese breed, correct?
Yes.
A lot of these breeds that originate in Asia, they have a very like they're not very expressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was very hard to read this dog.
In other words, he's very aloof.
Very aloof.
Right.
And he was very confident, though.
Yep.
He wasn't a fearful dog at all.
Right.
But he could not be trusted around feet, and
mm-hmm.
it was really bad.
Very complicated situation. And I worked with an Akita, too, who had major resource guarding issues.
Mm-hmm.
Also very aloof, hard to read. And to be honest with you, the last Akita that I worked with who had that issue was the last aggressive Akita that I worked with and will ever work with. We had Phil Guida on our show last week, who is a trainer here in this area, and he's very experienced with large breed aggression, and he gets those. I refer out to him. I will never.
I just interviewed him last week.
Yeah, that's right. So he's very good with the large breeds and with aggression, and he has a very good. As a matter of fact, on my case, I brought him in as a consultant. All right. So now I'll read you four more, and we'll talk about those. We're running out of time, unfortunately.
We
only have like 3 minutes. So the next group would be the Dachshund, the Jack Russell Terrier, the Lhasa Apso, and the Bull Mastiff. And the Bull Mastiff, I must be very lucky, because every single Bull Mastiff that I've met in the last 11 years has been fabulous.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely fabulous. The Dachshund, yes, I've had a few, but not a whole lot. The Jack Russell Terrier, their issue, in my experience, is usually dog aggression.
Yes.
Always dog aggression. So
I had two. Well, now they've renamed it. I think they renamed the breed. It's a Parsons Russell. Name.
Yeah, I don't know how well that could
work. Yeah, we all call him Jack Russell.
Right. I know.
Right, you may. We'll still call it what we want.
Right.
These two dogs, believe it or not, ironically and crazily enough, a breeder sold them to a couple, a lousy breeder, obviously, sold two females to this family,
mm-hmm.
and they hated each other. They were great as puppies, but
mm-hmm.
then once they matured,
right.
the aggression was insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day, during a training, they were wearing these harnesses, and the dog came out of it. I
right.
don't know how it came out of it, but it went for its sister, and these dogs were locked on like pit bulls in a pit ring.
Wow.
And I actually tried lifting one up in the air by its back feet and
wow.
tail
mm.
together so I could support its hindquarters.
Right.
And the sister was holding on.
Wow.
I
two
mean,
females?
It was,
oh, my God.
Very bloody and horrible.
Right.
Luckily, I didn't get bit because then I had a breakup dog fight.
Mm-hmm.
But we got the two separated, and my recommendation, you have to get rid of one of these dogs.
Yeah, sure. You have to
get rid
them.
Of the one that's the nicest with people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
you get rid of the better dog because
the good dog. I said because she has the better chance of survival.
Right. And also you don't want to pass off these dangerous qualities into another family. You don't
exactly.
want to hand off that dog to somebody else and say, here, now she's your
yeah.
problem. That's irresponsible. But yeah,
yeah,
Jack Russell's and dog aggression. Lhasa Apsos, yes, I've seen a lot of aggression with them, but I'll tell you the truth, lately I've been meeting several Lhasa puppies in my class, and my classes, and I'm seeing some really nice dogs.
But they're not as overbred as they used to be.
Maybe not.
You know,
all right.
That's the big
thing. Miniature pincher, oh my God. Bark, 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 and more barking. And they can be quite forceful. They're little dogs who thinks that they are big dogs.
I'm really shocked about the old English sheepdog.
No, I think the herding dogs have a propensity for some sorts of aggression because they are control freaks. I mean, border collies, you know, Australian shepherds, blue heelers, you know, I'm surprised they're not on the list here at all. Of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, they didn't do 100 of these dogs. There's only about
right.
15 or 20 of them here. But the Chihuahua, and lately again, I'm seeing nicer Chihuahuas, which is a pleasure. Don't know why, but, you know, don't ever approach anybody who's holding their Chihuahua in their arms saying, come pet my dog. I don't think so. I wouldn't take it for granted.
They did away with the Drop the Chalupa commercial.
Yeah, there you go.
Not everybody wants to run out and get a chihuahua.
Right. All right, so unfortunately, we only have a minute left, Karen, but, you know, this study is really interesting. Don't take it personally. Just make sure you're training your dog. Don't spoil your dogs, no matter what breed of dog it is, and you'll have a much better dog. If you have any aggression issues with your dog, call somebody for help. You are never going to be able to fix your dog on your own. Trust me, you need to know the psychology behind how to do behavior modification, and sometimes these dogs need medication.
You know, the trainer friend of mine that lives up in Rockland County, she says to me, if I wanted to learn how to play the violin, I would hire a music teacher.
Right, exactly. All right, darling. You know, thank you so much for joining us today. You did wonderful today on our show, Karen. You're a great host.
Thank you.
Want to thank our listeners. I hope that this was helpful, and we'll talk to you again next week, and we'll figure out a good topic to talk to you about then.
Okay.
Have a great week, everybody.
Great weekend.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout. Ooh, I gotta go out. I'd love to stay and talk.